Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Find me at turnerstake.com or turnerstakeag.com, and also on Twitter at turnerstake. Broker here at Daniels Trading. We're with hedgers and speculators, anything from online trading to broker assisted to manage futures. All right, if you ever have any questions or want to work with us, you can certainly reach out to me. All my contact information is in the show notes of the podcast and also on our website. Alrighty, so let's dive into it. I'm actually going to be out of the office next week. I typically do not take a summer vacation. It's usually too busy around here with the grain markets, but now that we're kind of in a quiet time, when we're get into the thick of harvest, this is when I take off with my family, so I'll be out next week, kind of on a fall break. So this will probably be the last podcast and weekly newsletter of the week, but I will be still active with the market, the market alerts, which is the spec side, and also the ag marketing, which is the hedge side. So, grains, we are range-bound. I've been talking about that before. Put out a note this morning just about our hedges, and I even kind of like it for speculators a lot. And with corn, we're just selling the straddles on D17. And, you know, we've done the 350s and the 360s. We're trying to collect 20 to 25 cents or somewhere in there, depending on the strikes and when we, you know, when each particular farmer got in, and if we can collect, I mean, the goal is to collect 20 or 25 cents, but even if we can just get 15 of it, as we chop up and down here, I think we could use that for hedges and D18, and that is really kind of the goal here, to use this low volatility time, use this time to collect premium, on the spec side or on the hedge side. I think you can use this time to collect some premium, and even if we get somehow exercised on the puts, I think that's going to be a good long-term re-ownership strategy anyways, and I don't see us getting exercised on the calls. I really don't. Not in harvest like this. So I like those a lot. And any kind of premium we collect from it, for speculators, you just keep that in your pocket. But for your hedgers and farmers out there, we could probably turn around for every 5,000 bushels we sold straddles on. We could probably pay for an equal amount of 5,000 bushels per 5,000 bushel for some kind of December 18 puts. Maybe the 380s. I mean, trying to lock in a floor at 380 with the calls and puts, the straddles that we sell now on the 17 contract. Really could be a pretty good deal if it works out in our favor. Again, the only way I see where, you know, we can kind of get into a little bit of a pickle is if the corn just goes down too far. But, you know, that kind of puts our re-ownership at 330, and I'm happy to do that. And then, you know, whenever corn rallies past that, then you use any money you make off of that to then buy the puts in D18. I just don't see us living long below 330 if it should come to that. So we're going to stick with that. There is some stories about, you know, pressure on corn right now because the rivers are low in the Mississippi, and it's having, what it's doing is it's preventing grain being sold and exported in the interior. That's really kind of hurting basis for farmers, so that stinks. This time of year, really want the transportation systems on the rail and in the rivers to be running at full capacity. So if we hopefully get some rain and the river levels come up, and we'll see the basis kind of strengthen a little bit, and because right now there's no point, I don't think, for farmers to sell their cash corn if the basis is going to get hurt that much, because they just can't get the barges don't want the grain because they can't get it down the river right now anyways. So anyways, that will hopefully sort itself out sooner rather than later. If you look at the technicals, it is a little bit bearish corn now, but I'm not surprised. We are in the thick of harvest. Same with beans. Technicals are turning a little bit lower. Again, you know, we sold those 960 straddles for about 30 cents. Gives in our range of 930 to 990. For farmers, I really like them. I mean, for re-owning beans at a synthetic price of 930, I'm totally fine with that. If we can make 20, 25 cents on those short straddles, again, they expire at the end of October. That would be fantastic. We could use a lot of that and buy put spreads for Nov 18. If that's the case, if we could do that, that'd be fantastic. I really like the upside for November beans, for beans in next year, in 18, Nov 18. There's just, who knows? We can get a huge production number out of South America again and a big production number out of the United States again. And, yeah, we're in $8 and $9 again. But if we get, if we get production issues, if we're lower acres, we're lower yields, like something happens with the crop, even just a weather scare, can sometimes give you the potential in the summer to really get some good prices here. So why, out of the three, corn, soybeans, and wheat, long-term, still most bullish soybeans, we have the most, and also on the demand side, soybeans has constant growth in demand year over year. And that is really what separates it from corn and wheat. There are two things going in soybeans' long-term favor. One, the demand structure is better for beans by far, hands down. You know what? I got to take this. Hold on one second, please. All right, I am back. But anyway, so out of the three, what I was saying is out of the three major commodities, soybeans really does have the upper hand on all of them, just because, one, they do have that constant demand growth driver, and the reason why is we are moving, basically, though, the world is moving from, the developing countries are moving from a rice diet to a wheat diet to a protein diet, and as the world becomes wealthier, as technology advances, especially the developing world, they'll need more protein, and what that leads to is probably soybeans as the winner for that, the higher protein and also basically the feed for animals. But also on the supply side, we only, and I sound like a broken record on this, but we only sell soybeans for export in two major areas of the world, and that's South America, Brazil with the beans, Argentina with the meal, and wow, we are busy this morning. Hold on another second. All right, I'm back again, and anyways, the on the bean supply, it's U.S., it's the U.S. that produces beans and meal to some extent. Sent for exports. And that's only two regions of the world that really do it on the export market. Unlike wheat, which where we probably harvest wheat for export, everywhere around the world at some point in the year, and corn would be kind of in between the United States and South America and Ukraine, parts of Europe, South Africa. That'd be somewhere in the middle. So I still like beans long term. I think one day, they always say a king corn. I always say, Prince Soybeans one day is going to dethrone King Corn in this country, and it's probably because of those two regions. The two primary reasons for exports for soybeans and the fact that soybeans has the best natural growth demand driver, not just now, but probably for the foreseeable future. So with the hedgers out there, I don't mind selling old crop corn. Soybean calls, like something that expires short dated within a month to collect some premium. I don't want to go any farther out than that. And then anything we can do to buy a floor for new crop beans, I'll do. On the spec side and on the re-ownership side for hedgers, I really do like soybeans here. I think if you have to sell soybeans as a farmer, you want to look for re-ownership opportunities on the spec side if you're a trader. If, we get down to 940, 930 in soybeans because, let's just say when we hit the most intense harvest pressure, I think at that point we're a buy. We could sell put spreads, we could sell puts, we can buy calls, buy futures, get bullish on the future spreads, kind of pick your poison there. But I do like that when that comes up. Hopefully we don't hit the lows when I'm out next week. Maybe we'll wait one more week when I'm back in the third week of October. But that's what I see. In terms of the wheat, if you're a farmer, I think you'd be selling. The carry's so big, I think you should be selling wheat far out. I don't care if it's, if you can get above $5, locally, great. If the futures start trading above $5, DS 18, fantastic. It just shows we just such a deep carry in wheat. Why grow it, store it, and have to pay storage costs? Either sell it after harvest, forward contract it, sell it out in the futures. I don't I like playing the relative value between them on the spec side. I do want to get back into Kansas City versus Chicago. I think that's gotten beat up, and Kansas City's like 5 cents below Chicago. I do think that'll come back for us. When that spread gets too deep, where Kansas City is really if Kansas City starts trading 10 cents under Chicago, then we'll definitely jump into it at that point. A lot of times I like to wait for the charts to turn back up, but the Kansas City does have the higher protein content on there, so I do like that. But in terms of like the hedging and for the farmer, a lot of guys plant wheat because they need to plant something and they can't plant something else. So I would just sell it, try not to take a loss on it, and for the guys out there that don't have futures accounts. One very good reason to have a futures account or hedge account for the wheat market is a lot of times when you get these the big spikes in wheat, it can be a lot of times due to geopolitical issues like Russia invading Ukraine or something like that, where we saw wheat go up $1.50 in the futures. Now, it didn't go up $1.50 in the country. The elevator, your local elevator, didn't care what's going on in Russia and world wheat prices. They just cared about what's going on, in the United States. But on the futures, you could have gotten $1.50 higher. You could have been selling wheat over $6 if you had the futures account. So I will say that is really the best reason to have a futures account for wheat producers, even if you don't use it very often. Every once in a while, it could be even a couple of years, you get some kind of crazy event, and you'll get the, best prices for wheat you've seen in 5 years if you do that. So just something to keep in mind, because I know I don't talk about wheat a lot in the newsletter or on the podcast, especially, but there's just not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot to talk about. We produce wheat all around the world, and we got large stocks. I'd say the one encouraging thing is global stocks and U.S. stocks are starting to trend down. We still have a ton of wheat, but at least the trend is now reversing, and the acres are coming down. And who knows? Maybe in the next couple of years, wheat becomes a better market, and maybe it's trending that way. It's just not happening right now. One final thing I'll talk about grains. I was on Chip Flory, his Market Rally radio program earlier this week, and I brought up how the USDA is projecting total planted acres between corn, wheat, and soybeans to go down another 5 million acres over the next couple of years, and a lot of that is probably going to come from corn. We'll probably eventually get to 85 million acres corn. The reason why is the United States is the high-cost provider. It really, for grain. So if we're going to have a lot of grain around the world, the acres that have to come out are the high-cost acres. So basically what's going to happen is it's going to be the lower productivity corn acres are probably going to come out of the system. And right now we have to find a reason for the corn that's planted in the margins. It's not going to be Iowa or Illinois or Indiana or Ohio or Minnesota or some of the Dakotas or Missouri, but as we get farther out of that region, I would think that the corn, unless it's used for ethanol or in the East Coast they use a lot of it for feed, unless it's not like has a local market like that, I think we will start to see that come out. So that the bullish story, unfortunately, for corn over the next year or two is probably going to be acres going from 90 to 85, which really needs to happen to get prices to have farmers be profitable. And then what we'll probably see with beans is that demand driver. So I wouldn't be surprised to see wheat lose a little bit of acres, corn still lose a little bit of acres, some acres come out of production or find just other kinds of crops, and then the rest of it go into beans. That's kind of our long-term view on it. But the demand structure for beans should be able to support that. Perfect example is that this time last year, we were talking about beans eventually ending up with a 500 million carryout, and that stocks report that just came out said 301. And that was after massive crops in the United States and South America. So I still like soybeans over the long term, over the other two. In terms of cattle, I think we're going to be range bound here. We have strong demand, but also a lot of product coming to the market. For the cattle producers out there, but also the spec traders, I still like these live cattle straddles. I think we're in the middle of the range, because there's been so much volatility in that market. You do get some pretty good prices, 114, 115, Straddles, I still like those. I don't have a real direction on cattle right now. I am, on the other hand, bearish crude. I've been talking about bearish crude for a while. I think we're breaking down on the charts. I think that we're finally seeing Brent reversing. I think it's the time of year where we see the bear spreads kick in. So I liked that January-April bear spread in crude. For some people, we were selling crude. Some people were selling call spreads or just buying puts. I think we're there. I think you know what happens is when we get into the 50s, crude breaks down, and here we are. We're in the 50s, and crude's having a tough time staying in the 50s. If you take a look at chart of December crude, the MACD has turned bearish. We've now closed below 200-day moving average. You know the trend line support probably comes in around 48, and I think we can get down there. So I like it. I like selling crude when we're in the top end of the ranges. If you need help or want some guidance on how to do that, certainly give me a call. I still think there's room to run in that, and you know, we'll try to play it as best we can with keeping risk in mind. I was writing also about the pound. I thought it was the same thing. You know, the pound, the UK had some bearish GDP reports lately. 200-day moving average about 129. We're at 133 now, so we're still 4 full points around the 200-day moving average, which is probably going to act as support. But the MACD turned bearish. GDP for the annual reports came down. Their construction data is lower. They're going to start talking more about Brexit and what they're going to do. I think there's just a lot of catalysts here for the pound to lose out. Plus, with the strong dollar, the dollar has looked a lot stronger here. So on the currency side, even though I do like, I don't know if it's long the dollar or short the pound. You know, the euro also looks like it's reversing from its long-term daily trend lower and broke some trend lines too. You know, the 200-day moving average for the euro comes in about 112, 113, and we're still at 118 now. So euro could still have some weakness. Finally, the one I was writing about this morning was OJ. OJ looks like it's trying to break out here. If you look at it in November, we might make a new high close, a higher close since we've seen, even from the hurricane during Irma. You know, with their estimates here, we may have lost up to 50% of the OJ crop. No one's going to know that until January. The citrus report comes out in January, which is a long time. I think what happened with OJ is, you know, we were trading in the high 120s, low 130s, maybe even 140. Hurricane, they realized it was going to be a direct hit in Florida. We came up into the 150s, almost hit 160. Then we had no more fresh bullish news, and all that fast money came in the market. We came back down to like that 145, 146, 147 level in OJ. And then after all that, the fast money left. We've been building higher. I think what we're seeing here in the second leg of what's going on with OJ is the MACD is starting to turn positive again. We might make a new high close today since that we haven't seen since April. I know we do import about half our orange juice in this country, mostly from Brazil. But, you know, if we lose half of it, we're just going to have to import basically 25% more. That is going to affect prices. I would not be surprised if this story and money flow come back into OJ, we could go up into the 160s or 170s. So I was writing about that. I do like some of the January calls. You can find them pretty cheap. I mean, this is not something I would get heavy into, but I was looking at 165, 170 calls, and you know, they're going for a couple hundred dollars to max about 500. Again, you know, it's something if you look at the technical breakout and what they're thinking about, how much of the U.S. crop is worth right now, that is probably something. Now Brazil has some pretty big production, so for the bears out there who are selling this or getting on the other side, they're thinking that Brazilian prices are going to be so low that we'll be able to import cheap Brazil OJ, and we won't miss a beat basically in losing the U.S. production. The bulls are thinking that the production is just too big and that we're going to have to demand, basically really ramp up the demand on the imports, and that's going to cost money. So we won't know for sure until January. What I do look for on the charts is the cash market. If there are issues in the OJ market, it'll happen in the cash market first, and then that will translate into what's going on in the futures market. And right now, as of right now, you know, it's 10:20 in the morning here in Chicago on October 4th.
And if we close right here, we're going to make a new high close, a higher close today than we did than during the hurricane, and that would be bullish. So that's what I wrote about in Turner's Take Market Alert. Again, if you are interested in the spec side of what I'm writing, it's in the Market Alert. If you're sitting in the hedge side, it's in the ag marketing part of the newsletter. If you like both, you can request both. So anyways, I'll be out next week. I hope everyone has a great week. If you have any questions about what we're doing in the energies, grains, OJ, currencies, give me a call. You can trade with us here online or broker-assisted or a hybrid of both. I'll talk to you later. Have a great day.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.